Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Pop Culture Confidential, and I'm Christina Yerling Biru. Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining me. When Robert and Trudy Stan's son, Mutz, died in 2014, they grieved the loss of their son and what they thought had been a very isolated and lonely life. Mutz suffered from a degenerative muscle disease called Duchenne muscle dystrophy. Confined to a wheelchair and feeding tubes, he spent the last years of his life in the basement flat of their house, mostly gaming. But what the family was to discover after Mutz had passed, when emails and messages started streaming in, that he had lived a full life as Lord Iblin in the role-playing game World of Warcraft. Mutz had made deep friendships, fallen in love, and was a vibrant member of his community, helping people from many places all over the world. Several of these people came to Oslo to pay their respects and take part in Mutz's funeral. His parents were stunned and overwhelmed. Now there's a new movie, Iblin, by documentary filmmaker Benjamin Reh. The movie about Mutz's story has already won the top prizes at Sundance and at several Nordic festivals and has been acquired by Netflix and will be available globally soon. Iblin reconstructs, through animation, the logs from Mutz's gameplay as well as interviews with people who knew him as Iblin. Mutz's father, Robert Stan, a former city council in the Committee of Health and Welfare in Oslo, has been taken aback by the incredible, emotional responses he's received after the screenings these past few weeks. And he hopes that the film will reach all generations, that parents and kids will watch it together. I was honored to speak to Mutz's father, Robert, about their story, about Mutz, and how their story can give us a deeper perspective on gaming, life, and everything in between. Mr. Stan, thank you so much for joining me here on the show.
Thank you for having me, Christina.
I just want to start by saying there's an email from the gaming community that I read after Mutz's passing, and it says, quote, he transcended his physical boundaries and enriched the lives of people all over the world, end quote. And I just wanted to say that Mutz is still doing that through you and your family and this wonderful documentary and keeping the story alive. And I just wanted to thank you for that and for the perspective you're giving us through telling his story.
It is a fascinating kind of both journey since Mutz passed away more than 9 years ago to experience exactly what you're saying, Christina, in the greater picture, but also in the smaller picture. This movie, which is now being launched around in the world and which was very much recognized both at the Sundance Film Festival and also here in the Nordic countries in Europe, has already given a young man a new apartment in Stockholm, Sweden. This young man, he drew all the animated part of the movie, and he made so much money on making the animated part of this movie that he could actually buy his own apartment for the first time in his life. So yes, Mutz is very much working there for different purposes and different people.
That's amazing. Let's start from the beginning, Rob, a little bit about your family. So Mutz was born in 1989. When did you realize that things weren't what you thought they would be?
Mutz was our first child, born in the summer of 1989. He was the most beautiful, the most intelligent, the most fantastic boy ever born in history, in the eyes of his father, of course. And then at the age of four, he got a diagnose. He was diagnosed with a muscular disease called Duchenne. Duchenne is a non-curable degenerative disease that gradually takes away all of your muscle strengths, thereby also all of your abilities, and in the end, also your life. That's the message we got when he was four in 1993. And that's in a way also how we viewed and observed his life develop throughout the 25 years that he spent with us.
What did the doctor say? What could you expect would be happening to Mats?
When we got the diagnosis in May 1993, and you see, I know exactly those days, those were probably the most emotional days of our lives. When we got the diagnosis, the life expectancy at that time for this muscular disease was around 20 years. So when he lived to be 25, we always said that we got to have him 5 years more than what we could expect or what we was anticipating. But nevertheless, he didn't have a long life.
And what was it like for you and Trudy and his sister? What did you worry about?
It's in a way both a challenging message to be given for your first born child, that life should be so limited and so short. And I think it's also very recognizable for everybody who have children. Our dream for our children is very often that they should become a little bit better version than ourselves. I myself was a soccer player. My wife, Trude, she was running short and mid-distance running, the 400 meter, 800 meters, 1,000 meters. So she was an athlete. And this was, of course, also dreams we had for our children, that they could play a little bit better than I did, that they could run a little bit faster than Trude did, and so on and so forth. Norway is a country with a lot of trees, so we also say that our children should learn how to climb the trees. When we got the diagnosis, all of these dreams were shattered. We got the message that Mats would not be able to walk after his 8th birthday. We were given the message that as this disease progressed, he would be more and more isolated. He would never probably be able to experience real friendships. He would not be able to experience falling in love. He would not be able to experience being important in other people's lives and putting his footprint into their experiences. He would never be able to contribute to society. And I think these elements, experiencing friendships and relationships with other people, experiencing love, and also to be important for your society and for other people, are probably the most important values of living a valuable life. And all of this was in a way taken away from our dreams. So everything, as Trude says in the movie as well, went in black. And then we had to build our dreams and hopes and future thinking all over again. And in a way, strangely, this is what we learned from Mats. We stopped thinking about how the world and the life would look like 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and we became extremely focused on today and this week. And I think this is also kind of a gift that we got from Mats. He very often said that it's strange that people always look forward to something. We look forward to ending our studies so that we can give it a proper job and make money. We look forward to making a small family and finding the one right person in life. We look forward to having children. We look forward to the children moving out of the house eventually. We look forward to retiring. And in the end, he said, maybe we're even looking forward to dying. But we never really get there because tomorrow doesn't exist. It is only today. And this we learned from Mats. And I think that this was the perspective that shifted dramatically for us as well that spring day in 1993.
And you can see in the movie that there's some just beautiful home videos of you took vacations and a wonderful life together that became more and more difficult for him and you all, but you can see that you're the joy that you shared together in this circumstance.
That's true. In a way, what we had to do was to make the best out of every single day. And as I said, seeing back in history today, that is a gift because it's not given that we make the best out of every day. Very often we are, in a way, thinking that we should make the best out of the day next year or the year after. And we were trying really hard to make the best out of every single day since we knew that the days would be limited.
At a certain point, Mats found gaming and videos in Talk a little bit about what that was like for him and how it helped him in school, for example.
The big advantage of being born the summer of 1989 is that you are actually 10 and a half years when Lord of the Rings came on the cinema screens. Lord of the Rings came on the cinema screens approximately around the same time as the first video games came. So Mats got his first Game Boy at the age of 10. And these games and these video games were absolutely things that he, in spite of his muscular disease and condition, could master as well as everyone else. And we saw that very early, so we allowed him to both to have these games and also allowed him the time that he wanted to play these games. This we did not allow his sister to do because she was not in this special condition, so she should climb the trees and not sitting inside and doing the video games. So that was in a way the kind of the one thing we could give to Mats, which he mastered and which he seemed to enjoy. And in the beginning, he was also popular with the other boys in school when he was like 10, 11, because he had all these cool games. And then they came to him to watch him and to also try his games. But also this gradually faded away from his physical friendships as he became more and more ill, and the muscle disease became stronger and stronger limitations for how he could live his life. But in the beginning, it was a kind of social magnet, you could say, and it also made him in the physical world master something which was popular with the other ones. But once this also then disappeared in the physical world, he took it inside to his home, and that is when that is where he found this kind of second life, which I guess that we will come back to, Christina.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that. We also worried about the time he was spending in front of screens and sort of in the basement or in his room playing.
Since Mats' physical abilities were limited, I don't think that we were so afraid, but we were sad. We were sad that his life didn't consist of anything else than sitting in front of a computer gaming. And I think this sadness is actually transferable to the feeling of parents with children without any kind of special diseases, illnesses, handicaps, the normal people or children and young people who spend a lot of time in front of the computer. This sadness is transferable to the fear. We fear that they are lonely. We fear that they are isolated, and we fear that they miss out on lots of things. For instance, physical activities, relationships with friends, all these things. And again, what I have learned the 9 years after Mats passed away, the reason for this fear is because we have very little knowledge about what is going on inside of these video games, which in a way this movie, Ibelin, is all about.
On November 18th, 2014, Mats passed away. You decided after a while, this must have been such a terrible period for you, but you decided to reach out through his blog, which was called Musings of Life, because you realized he probably had some people out there who were wondering why he hadn't logged on for a while. What happened when you sent that message?
It's correct what you describe, Christina. It was, of course, a very special time of our lives. Mats had passed away on the 18th of November. I don't think you can ever really prepare for losing a child. So when it happened, even though we didn't know it would happen, it was a shock. We were sitting in the living room at home. We couldn't sleep. We were sitting on top of each other in a sofa. People were walking in and out of the apartment. Some had brought some food, some had flowers. They were trying to comforting us, and everything was kind of a blur. Then I think that after a while, we started to think about those thousands and thousands of hours that Mats had spent online in this gaming world, and in this community in World of Warcraft called Starlight. And we felt an obligation to give some kind of a signal to these people that Mats would not log on again and to at least try to communicate what has happened. But we had no idea on how to do that because neither of us had ever been gamers. We had no idea how to enter into World of Warcraft, and we had no idea on how to reach his friends in World of Warcraft through the game. But 2 years before Mats passed away, he started, as you said, this blog called Musings of Life, where he talks about how it is to have this muscular condition and living in Oslo, Norway, and how his life is. Mats had given me the password of this blog. So what I did was that I wrote a final kind of article on this blog, which I called A Journey is Over. And in this article, I told what had happened the day before, that Mats had passed away, that we had lost a son, a brother, and a dear friend. And then I left my email in that blog post. I had no idea what would happen. I had no idea if this blog post was read by anyone or whether it would reach anyone. And I think it took less than 2 hours before the first mail came. And it was this characteristic pling of the Outlook mailbox, bling, that reached our ears. And we went over to the computer to see what had arrived. And it was a strange name from a strange place in a strange world. And we were wondering, is this spam or is it real? And while we were wondering, the second mail came, bling, third one, bling, bling, bling. And it just crowded in our inbox. I think we received within the first 2 hours 50 to 70 mails from different people all over Europe who told long stories about their relationships to Mats, how strong friendships they have experienced with Mats, how close they were, how sad they were over the fact that they have lost such a dear and close friend. And of course, all of this was extremely strange for us, given the fact that Mats had been living under the same roof as us for his entire life in 25 years. And the last 8 years, no one had come to the door to knock or to cling the bell to ask if they could be together with Mats. We had never seen a physical friend. We had never seen a physical girlfriend, or like Anne, 62 years from London. Maybe we would have been shocked if a woman of 62 had come and knocked on the door of my son of 25. But we haven't seen any of these people, and we didn't even know that they existed. And they had never seen Mats either. But through these mails, which we read throughout the night, we experienced that they knew as good as I knew Mats. And their friendships, they were probably stronger than most of the friendships that I had experienced in the physical world. But they were developed on different platforms and in different environments than what I had experienced. And maybe that was the main reason for why I hadn't seen it.
What were some of the things that they said about Mats?
So many different kind of stories, which of course develops in friendships. We know that if someone had started or challenged all the friends you have had through your life, Christina, to describe the relationships they had with you, they would be different, and they would be probably also containing lots of interesting different stories. And that was what we experienced with Mats as well. One example, a school teacher in Denmark, age 44, so she was like 19 years older than Mats. She said that when I got the message through the blog this morning, I went to school as normal. But while standing there in the first lesson with the children, age 12, 13, I just started to cry. And I continued to cry and cry which, and I think I quoted correctly, is a little bit impractical when you are teaching children. So, and I couldn't stop crying, so I had to go home for a sick leave. And I'm now sitting at home wondering what happened. How could I be so emotionally hit by the fact that a person who lives in a different country, who I have never met, have passed away? How is that really possible? And then when I tried to gather my thoughts and I came back to the children the day after in school, I started to share the story. To share the story about avatars, about wheelchairs, about conversations in the late hours, about feelings and emotions, and about what is it really that connects us as people. So that's just one example, Christina, of the many, many, many stories that we got throughout the days after his passing.
For someone who doesn't know, what is World of Warcraft and Starlight that you were referring to?
It's a very good question because we are very much oversimplifying the things we don't know. And my experience, at least from the people in my generation, in the geographies that I have been traveling, we haven't spent much time on trying to understand gaming. So therefore, we say that gaming is bad, and mostly we do that. Sometimes we say that gaming can be okay, but gaming is not gaming. Gaming could be FIFA soccer. It could be World of Warcraft. Could be Fortnite, which is a war game. It could be Minecraft. There are so many variations, of course, of games, which shows that the nuances disappears when we call it gaming. We're also oversimplifying screens. We say that sitting in front of a screen too much is not good. Again, we are oversimplifying. Is a screen a television screen? Is it a movie cinema? Is it a PC? Is it a mobile phone? And what you have on that screen is, of course, also very defining of your experiences and so on and so forth. So too much we are oversimplifying, at least my generation, when it comes to gaming. So therefore, it's a good question. World of Warcraft is the game where Mats spent most of his time the last 8 years. World of Warcraft is first and foremost what we call a role-playing game, which means that you have an avatar, a character, and you have described who this character is, where he's coming from, and what he's doing in a way. Mats's avatar was a big, strong person, guy, whose name was Iblin. And the story behind Iblin, Mats described in this forum of World of Warcraft, is that he was born as the son of Lord and Lady Iblin, who was killed in one of these many wars that took place in the years when Iblin was born. And Iblin had to flee into one of the big cities in this World of Warcraft environment called Stormwind. And he lived like a gutter boy. He lived from the garbage that he could find in the streets and in the back alleys. And he built his life upon that. Then, when he built himself strong, he was able to fight back. He established an army and he took claim of his lordship again. So, Iblin is a nobleman with that kind of background. So, this is just giving a description on what kind of preparation they do when they go into this World of Warcraft role-playing game. And then he joined a group of other avatars in this role-playing game world called Starlight. And Starlight was established in 2007, and they are still a guild or a group, which means that they have now been playing this role-playing game for 17 years. A role-playing game can be described with going to the theater, but as an actor without a script. So you are actually the editor, the script writer, and the actor of a role-playing game which continuously develop and in this case, over a period of 17 years. What the game producers do is that they create the environment, which are beautiful, fantastic landscapes, which are exciting medieval cities, which are dragons, which are fascinating animals. When I visit this world, I have a very low level. I haven't played so much, so I haven't qualified for going many places. But in order to find Mats's friends in this world, they send a griff, a big animal which can fly, which picks me up. I sit on the back of this griff, and this griff flies me into an island where I can meet the friends of Mats in their annual memory of Mats on the 18th of November every year. So that's a small kind of attempt to try to explain what this World of Warcraft is all about. So they do this role playing, they kill dragons, and they fall in love with each other.
What was so enlightening was, I think what we don't get to see is the other side of the avatar. Who is there? And there were such beautiful people in this Starlight community. For example, tell me about Lisette.
It starts an afternoon outside of this city where the avatar Iblin was living. And I mentioned that the name of the city was Stormin. Outside of that city is a forest, a big forest called Elvin Forest. Often Iblin was running in Elvin Forest and also walking in Elvin Forest, beautiful forest, lot of animals. And he meets also friends there. Sometimes they go to the lake. And the favorite dish of Iblin is turtle soup. And one afternoon he tells us he and a friend, a dwarf, is sitting enjoying a fantastic turtle soup by a lake. It's warm and it's quiet and they can hear the birds. While they're sitting there eating their turtle soup, a mysterious dark woman, this dark-haired woman, is coming out of the woods. And she steals the hat of Iblin and she runs away with it. Iblin's father, or author, Mats, is at that time 17 years old. He is severely handicapped. He had never had any kind of interactions with girls, so he had no clue what to do with his avatar either. But his dwarf friend, he says, she's flirting with you. You should run after her. Iblin / Mats was shy, so she said, no, she's not flirting with me. And then the dwarf says, she's clearly into you, go after her. So he persuades him to run after this dark-haired beauty. And he catches up with her, and that's in a way where a lifelong relationship starts. Behind this dark-haired beauty, whose name is Rumor in the game, is a Dutch girl from Breda in the Netherlands. And her name is Lisette. This episode, which was their first meeting in the gaming world, happened when they both were 17. And through that first encounter, a strong relationship, and I would also call it a love affair, develops. As most experiences in the teenage love department, it is a little bit up and it's a little bit down. They break up, they find each other again. And to make a long story, Lisette is one of the people that comes to Norway in November in 2014 to say goodbye to one of her closest friends in life, one who also helped her when she was in a very dark corner of her life for a while. And when the coffin of Mats is carried out of the chapel that evening or afternoon, Lisette is one of the six that carries the coffin. That is as close as they got in physical life.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil more of these friendships and what he did, but he did so much for so many people just through this communication and talking. But they didn't have the whole picture of Mats until he started the blog, right? How did they react
That's true. And I think this is also some of the many fascinating questions that pops up as a consequence of this movie. Because as you say, Ori hid his handicap and his muscular disease. That, of course, can create questions around if you are legit in this world, or if you're trying to be someone who you are not. Did he hide his handicap, or did he actually strengthen his personality? I have also been asked. And that's a good question, because we have a tendency of putting people into boxes. If we see a person, this is also what Mats said. It is strange that when I come to the shopping mall in a wheelchair, people start to talk louder to me. And they use very simple words. And I don't have any problems with my ears, and I'm not mentally challenged. But still, that's the way they behave towards me when they see a wheelchair. And we have this tendency of categorizing people. Anne 62 said the same. I'm hiding my age. If people know that I'm 62, they suddenly start behaving different to me. So, in order to really give them my personality, I don't focus on my age. And I think Mats experienced the same. In order to give you my personality, I don't focus on my handicap or my disease. It could be anything else as well, of course. Could be skin color, could be ethnic background, could be makeup, could be fancy cars or titles. All these things have a tendency of influencing who you are and how you are treated and greeted with other people. And in the Avatar world of World of Warcraft, as Mats also says in his blog, and I think also it's repeated in the movie, we all look great. So we don't have to focus on that. We can focus on who we really want to be in our heads and brains, and we can focus on the values, what we have in our hearts, or in other words, the personality that we are carrier of. And is there anything purer than our core personality? And does it matter if this personality is packed into a 70-year-old body or a 15-year-old body? Does it matter if this personality is packed into a handicapped person or a person which have won the gold medal on 100 meter? And of course, these are leading questions, so the only answer to that is no, it doesn't really matter. But it influences us in the physical world, which Anne called the limited or the theatrical world. That's the physical world, while this role-playing world, which we do through avatars, probably is more real and more close to the core essence of being a person, namely personality.
But also, when this community, this family, when Starlight did find out about Matt's situation, it didn't change anything.
No, that is true. And I think that is more who these people in Starlight is than the fact that they were playing this role-playing game. Maybe mostly Lisette, because Lisette was the one that Mats spent most time with through their avatars of Rumor and Iblin. And as she says, I was shocked when I learned that he had this muscle disease and that he was going to die soon. But I was also, in a way, disappointed, she said, because I had confined so much of my problems with him, and he didn't trust me with the same back. So I was in a way also sad by that. And when they met through their avatars the first time after she had learned that Mats was actually suffering from this disease and was in this situation, she was really concentrating on looking at Iblin and his avatar. And she said that, but he looks the same, he is the same, so nothing has changed there. And then they continued their life in World of Warcraft, in Azeroth, and in Stormwind City, the same way as before. I don't know if that would have been the same case if they had met in the physical life for the first time with Mats and his condition and his wheelchair and him only being able to move his fingers. I think it helped with the avatars. But the personality, as she says, that was the same. Nothing had changed. So we continued as before. But of course, then she also knew that we have between 18 and 24 months more to go.
When you all realized this, I mean, particularly when this small group of wonderful people from Starlight came to Oslo for the funeral, you had read through this and you had read their emails. Is it possible to explain how you and Trude and Matt's sister felt what you realized?
I think first and foremost, and almost only, we felt happiness. We felt relief. We felt also a little bit of understanding. Because in spite of these extreme challenges that Mats was given from birth, in spite of the extreme limitations that he had upon his life, and also the short life that he was given, he was never bitter. He was never angry. He was almost never sad, at least not more than usual people. He was always curious. He was always happy. He was always smiling. He had all these abilities, which we very often link to people with strong resources and long lives ahead of them. And I never understood how he could create or establish all this optimism, all this happiness, all this joy in his life when he was only sitting there in the basement of our house in front of a computer all night, sleeping all day, because it looked so isolated, it looked so sad. And when we started to realize that he was never alone, he was never isolated. He experienced friendships, relationships. He did fall in love. He did experience love. He was at times accused for being a womanizer, which I, as a father, was a little bit proud of. All of this explained also his mental strength. But we didn't see it as long as he was alive. Which maybe was the one thing which was a little bit sad about this story. I've been asked sometimes if I regret on something after having learned about this virtual life of Mats. And I think regretting is a too strong word. But if I were to give some advice based on my experience as a father in this situation, it would be that adults should, to a stronger degree, ask to be invited into this virtual world as well, to meet the friends that our children have there. I was participating in all the handball matches of my daughter, all the trainings. We participated in all the parental meetings in school. We were the best generation parents ever, except from this virtual reality world that also is so important for our young children and youngsters. This part we didn't spend much time on understanding. When Mia had played a handball match, I always asked her how many goals she scored, and if she had scored a lot, she was proud, and I was proud. If she hadn't scored any at all, she was sad, but I was still proud. I never asked Mats how many dragons they had been killed. I never asked how many challenges they had solved. I always asked Mia how it was with her friend when she broke the arm. I never asked Mats how his friends in the World of Warcraft was.
And then that world opened up for you, and you could see those friends. Yeah, it's wonderful.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
We were just watching the hearings in the States. I don't know if you saw those about the child safety online, where representatives from everyone from Facebook to TikTok. And there's a lot of discussions about the dangers of the web, particularly for children. What have you learned? How do we protect children from the sides of it that can be bad?
Chances have brought me to a position where I am at present, heading an expert committee on behalf of the Norwegian government, who will deliver our report in November this year. What we have been given as task is to look at the dangers of the screens for people between 0 and 19 in Norway. I'm heading that expert group. I'm also working with professors, with scientists, with people that know a lot about health, know about mental health, know about our ability to learn and relationships around all digital kind of tools and arenas. So I also watch what is going on in other countries. Again, we should never oversimplify. It is huge nuances. There are so many different elements in these kind of questions. I think it was Anne during the funeral that said to me, we have a saying in England saying that you should first try to understand for them to be understood. So in order for us as legislators, as adults, as those who are responsible for putting the frames on the lives of our children, we should very much try to understand what all these digital screens, digital tools, digital games, digital products are doing with and for our children before we should be too strong on our conclusions. I think we should never say that things are just bad or just good. I am not in any way or form saying that gaming is all good, because it's not. I am not saying that spending too much time in front of a screen is good, because it's not. But on the other side, I also, through this work in this committee, we also have had several professors from other countries visiting us, sharing their experience. We had a professor from England the other day, and he said to us that since he is one of the most recognizable professors on mental health for young people and screen usage in the UK, he very often gets questions from very worried parents. One of the questions he gets more often is, my son is spending 4 hours in front of a screen. What should I do about it? And then the professor's standard answer is that in psychology, we have a word for that. It's called normal. So I think we have to try to understand the context of these things. It might be that there are aspects of especially social tools like TikTok, social media tools like Facebook and so on and so forth, that could be creating dependence. It might be that overdoing things in different aspects of the digital world is absolutely not good for neither physical health nor mental health. But there is a balance in all kind of things. I think we have a wording in Norway, which I think maybe is the same in English or in American. It is possible to shave your beard without cutting off your head. And I think that is where we are in a way moving. I don't think that any solution for these kind of challenges will be that we will turn off the internet. No. I don't think that any kind of solutions in these kind of areas is to de-invent social media. So we have to find ways of understanding it and to live with it in the best possible way. And here, I think the biggest challenge is with the adult generation who have not spent a lot of time, I think, in really understanding what is going on these very important arenas for our young people.
Right, to really immerse yourself in understanding. I think also there's a fear of who is behind the avatar, who is reaching out to the children. That's one of the things we see in your story, and the people behind Starlight are us.
I have a favorite drawing on my wall in my office here. It's a drawing, I think it was made in 2000, 2001 or something, maybe late 90s. It's a drawing of a dog in front of a computer and a keyboard. And he writes on the internet, "Nobody knows that you're a dog." And of course, this has created a lot of fear as well. But my experience, Mats's experience, a lot of the young people's experience is that most of the time it's not dogs, it is fantastic people. It is when you see the number of boys under 20 who daily game in Norway, it's more than 90%. So it's everyone. Just the same way as you meet people in a school or a kindergarten, out in the street, in a shopping mall, in the physical world, it's the same people you meet online.
Few of those are not good.
Of course, of course. And you, as I said, you shouldn't glorify. You should never glorify extended gaming. You should never glorify extended time spent in front of a screen. But back to my trees in Norway, you shouldn't glorify climbing in trees and climbing the trees all the time either, because then you will probably end up being a monkey.
I want to congratulate you on the film, which has already won the big prize in Sundance, and it's going to be bought by Netflix. So the world is going to see it and see this story. Benjamin Rhee, who made the movie, they did something fantastic. They've made animations of the hundreds and thousands of logs. To explain it easily, tell me if I'm wrong, the communication between Mats and everyone in Starlight, and they've made animations so you actually can see the world of Iblin and Rumor and everyone during these years. What was that like for you to see this?
I think this is, when it comes to documentary movies, Iblin is probably a unique documentary. Inside of the Iblin movie is a movie in the movie. And that is when Benjamin Rhee, through an animator in Stockholm, Sweden, has recreated this gaming world that Mats was a part of for 8 years. The reason for why they have been able to do that, and also the reason for why it is unique, is that all the communication in this gaming world in 2007, 2008, 2009, for the 8 years that Mats was a part of this community, was done to chat. This was before both bandwidth and processors and data storage capacity was big enough to do this live through voice or picture or video. So all communication was done through chat. All of this chat was logged by Starlight. They had actually started, they recorded all the chat and they stored the chat on their forums. But forum chats from 8 years, starting in 2006, 2007, disappeared when the servers were changed one time, five times, 10 times through all of these years. But through the work with preparing for making this movie, Benjamin Rhee and his team found a server on a storage in Hong Kong containing 42,000 pages of chat log. And through these 42,000 pages of chat log, they have been able to recreate what really happened in this gaming world. And they have animated it in a way that we, who have not been part of that world, really can sit in the cinema audience and watch this and understand what is going on. I know for a fact that the goal of Benjamin, who is 34 years old, the goal of Benjamin was that he was going to make a story about this gaming world, which his grandmother, who is 93, would understand. Today is Tuesday. On Thursday, we will have a premiere of the movie here in Oslo. And I know for a fact that Benjamin's grandmother of 93, she will come. So that will be the proof of the pudding. Does she understand, after the movie, World of Warcraft, Starlight City, Stormwind, all of these things? Will she understand it? And I think she will.
What she will understand is the friendships.
This will she will understand, and she will also understand the beauty of this world, and she will understand why it is so important for those who have actually stumbled into this world.
Now that the movie soon will be all over the world, what do you hope the reactions will be?
I have one strong wish for this movie, and that is that it is something that the generations will see together. And the reason for saying that, Christina, is rather broad. I observe and also fear that we live in a world which becomes more and more fragmented. There are less and less things that binds us together. I think the strongest single element that bind people together are shared stories. And shared stories can only be created through story sharing. And we are less and less sharing stories. I think what we saw on the 6th of January 2021 under the storm of the Congress in the US is not the kind of shared stories in a nation that the US have been so proud of and so famous for. We see the same in Europe. We see the same in other parts of the world as well. The fragmentations are tearing us apart. We also see it between generations. The young people are taking their iPads and go to their boys' room or their girls' room, and they watch their YouTube videos while the parents are sitting in the living room watching their analog television shows. So we don't have that kind of storytelling arenas anymore. And that tears us apart. If this movie can be participating or contributing to bringing the generations together around a story, which then can be a discussion starter for why are you so interested in gaming? I now understand a little bit more about what this is, and it has created curiosity with me. And it is the adults that have the main, I think, responsibility here. If we can use this movie for creating those kind of intergenerations experiences, story sharing, and also discussions, then we have accomplished a lot.
Well, I think it definitely will. It was for me, I have to say. So I think it will. How often do you visit Starlight?
Once a year. They
Once
have this
for the memorial.
For the memorial, yeah. As I said, my dwarf only are on level 4, and it's limited what I can do, and I don't have so much time to build this level. I have all these other things I have to do as well.
Yeah,
but having said that, it's not only serious things. I also watch a lot of sports on television, so I could have, of course, prioritized to build level in Stormwind City and in World of Warcraft, and maybe I would have been both better and a more happy person as a consequence of that. But I still watch the skiing in the television in the weekends instead.
Well, you are Norwegian, so watching the skiing.
That is true. that is part of our common storytelling. Yes, that's true.
Exactly. But thank you so much for telling your story, for telling Matt's story. And thank you very much for taking your time with me.
Thank you for inviting me, Christina. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much to Robert Stan. Iblin has been acquired by Netflix and should be available globally very soon. And thank you so much for listening. Pop Culture Confidential is a part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. See you next time.
Anne-Marie Kelly. Wild Precious Life is a podcast about dreaming big, digging in and connecting across distance, division, and loss. In each episode, I talk with prize-winning writers, musicians, and wanderers who remind all of us how we can make the most of the time we have. So meet me here. Let's walk and talk and dream and discover what it means to be wild, precious, and brave.